From Mimeo Field at Harry Grove Stadium, this is Unlocking the Keys with JJ Myhouski.
Hey, Keys fans, JJ Myhouski here on another edition of Unlocking the Keys. We have some really exciting stuff coming up for you today as the Keys get set for the MLB draft, which begins on Sunday. Let's talk about what's going on the field right now. The Keys are on their longest win streak of the season. They have won four straight, and tonight they go for the fifth win in a row against the West Virginia Black Bears, as well as their 10th win on the season. Jake Plasiak last night blasting a grand slam, the first one of the season for the Frederick Keys. It was a tape measure shot, but it put the Keys ahead at the time, 9-4 in the ballgame. The Keys went on to win that one 9-5 for their fourth win in a row, and they're just rolling right now. Today we have a couple of interesting guests coming up for you. Mike Rosenbaum, as promised, is hopping back on to talk about some of the draft prospects and what the league has done for these guys. But first, we're going to head down to the dugout and talk with Macy Hill about what's coming up in the on-deck circle. As yesterday, we made our fourth promotional release of the season, so let's head there now. Hey, Keys fans, JJ Myhouski here, voice of the Frederick Keys, along with Macy Hill, our director of marketing, and we are so excited to bring you our fourth and final release of the season. Macy, some games coming up July 27th through our final game on August 13th. What do you have planned for us?
We are so excited. We're starting strong with Wrestling Night featuring Honky Tonk Man. He's going to be here signing autographs, posing for pictures. Super excited about that. A few days later, one of my favorite nights of the year is going to be 90s Night. We're encouraging fans to dress up in their favorite 90s attire. We're going to be playing nothing but 90s music that night. Super excited about it.
Well, we are looking forward to those, and we looking back at the rest of the season, we've had a couple of successful jersey auctions as well as a mystery bobblehead giveaway. One more jersey auction and one more bobblehead on tap. What do we have coming for us?
So the last jersey auction of the season is actually going to be Princess Night Fireworks presented by Mimeo, and it's going to be in partnership with Sophie and Madigan's Playground. They are going to be the beneficiaries of the profits made from this jersey auction. It's a beautiful jersey. You'll have to check out our website to see what that looks like and for the information on when you can bid on it. It's really cool. Super excited. The next night is actually going to be Fireworks by Flying Dog and a bobblehead giveaway by them as well. That's going to be a Mancini bobble, but it's a little bit unique. You'll have to check back to see what that looks like, but he's not necessarily in a Keys uniform. So stay tuned for what that's going to be.
Well, then we have a couple of fire versus fire department games coming up, as well as the Frederick versus Frederick Police Fire Department game coming up, the Guns and Hoses game. What is going on with those at the end of the season?
Yeah, so there's going to be a fire versus fire game, which is Frederick Fire versus Montgomery Fire, prior to a Keys game, so super excited about that. And then we have our makeup day for Pirates in the Park. We're also very excited about that one. We had a ton of people in pirate costume that day, but it was rained out, so we're making up for that fun at the park. And then we close out the season with that other fire department game, which is actually the Guns and Hoses, Frederick Fire versus Frederick Police Department. And that one's also our fan appreciation, ending the season with fireworks. It's gonna be a really great way to close out this first Major League Baseball draft season.
Well, we are looking forward to having fans here at the park. Again, these dates, July 27th through August 13th. If you're interested in tickets, visit frederickkeys.com or call the box office at 301-815-9930. Thanks for hopping on, Macy. We are looking forward to everything coming up. Don't forget, fans, a jersey auction and a Trey Mancini bobblehead coming up. Those two items highlight this fourth promotional release of the season. You can find all the information on frederickkeys.com if you're interested in looking for that info. Or if you want to get tickets, call 301-815-9939. That's the number to the box office. You can get your tickets online as well. Moving on in the on-deck circle, we're going to have another Keys alumni of the day, and today we're going to talk about the man, the myth, the legend himself, the Mimeo t-shirt for this year's season, Ryan Mountcastle, who is a 2017 Keys alumni. In 2017, Mountcastle played 88 games, batting .314 on the season. He had 35 doubles. That is still a Keys single season record in our record books here today. He also had 15 home runs on the season, as Mountcastle just continues to tear up Major League Baseball at this time. Mountcastle was originally drafted by the Orioles in 2015. He was a first-round pick. He made his debut last year in the COVID-shortened season on August 21st of 2020. And this season, as I mentioned, he's just been on a tear for the Orioles. He is batted .257 in 2021. He has 75 hits on the season, 14 of them for long balls. And the most important accolade for him so far here in 2021, he was the June 2021 AL Rookie of the Month. Congratulations, Ryan, on that. achievement. He is the first Oriole to win since Brian Matthews won in August of 2010. So it's been 11 years since the Orioles have had a Rookie of the Month. Great things coming out of the Keys and the Orioles organizations. And we are so excited to see what more Keys will bring to the draft this weekend. And for that analysis, we're going to head over to our interview with Mike Rosenbaum as he joins us now here on Unlocking the Keys. Mike Rosenbaum for the second time now joining us here on Unlocking the Keys this season. Mike, a little bit here into the draft league. The first half is almost done. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. I have been watching almost exclusively draft league baseball and having a blast doing it and covering all these players who hopefully, you know, within a matter of days could be hearing their names called in the draft. So it's been a great summer. The league has really picked up. The influx of players as the college season's ended have really, really boosted the talent level in the league. And it's just been great to see. Players seem like they're having a great time and the atmospheres at the ballparks are all great. So, you know, it's going pretty well for the first year in the league. We, you know, there's areas that will require improvement next year, but year one, we're very pleased with how things are going.
Well, it was a great time. And since we've talked, we've been to the MLB Draft League Combine, the first year that Major League Baseball had a draft combine. So if fans aren't familiar with what that was, it was kind of something similar to what the NFL does with their combine. What was kind of the process for Prep Baseball Report and for Major League Baseball Draft League to have that go down and be able to have those teams participate in that combine?
Well, this has been an idea that's been kicked around for years, whether it's with MLB or just baseball fans in general, because you go to a showcase, you go to a PBR showcase, you're going to see all these standards for how players are evaluated. BP, live at-bats games, infield running, all that stuff. But what has made the MLB draft combine really stand out is all of the tech and all of the performance evaluation tools that have been implemented to better evaluate these players and also to help the players better understand themselves, their bodies, their limitations, and you know, everything that comes with that. You know, there's going to be challenges always with the draft league combine given the length and nature of the college season and how things overlap. But overall, it's something that's going to stick. I think it went very well. They did two test run basically using players in our league leading up to the official draft combine as you know, sort of the testing grounds for everything that they were going to be doing in that main first one that was televised and ran all day. But overall, I think it was a huge success. The visibility of it, especially on television and having such a presence with, you know, big league personalities there as well. I think that's a really strong selling point that's going to help turn out in future years as well.
Yeah, it was definitely interesting to me. I mean, I was able to travel with the team to go to Philadelphia, saw the jumping activities that they did, ran the 40-yard dash, I think, or the 30-yard dash, whichever they were doing that day myself. So, Derek.
Yeah, it's slightly unconventional baseball evaluation, like jumping 40-yard. You know, in baseball, you always think like the 60-yard or you're thinking about guys home to first. So it's looking at more players from more just an overall athletic standpoint and not just a baseball-specific standpoint. Yeah.
Well, now we're taking all those numbers and we're putting them into what scouts are looking at for the MLB draft this upcoming weekend. And a lot of guys have been big names in the league this season. There's been some temp contracts that have come through, like Dominique Colley. If you look at him here in Frederick, he was able to extend his contract with how well he was playing as an outfielder here for the Keys. Now MLB is moving into the draft. It's the first season that the draft is being held with the All-Star game. Going to be an awesome weekend coming up here. What are some of your thoughts on the draft coming up here and how the MLB Draft League is going to play into that?
I think it's going to be really cool. The confluence of all of these events this weekend, you know, including the Futures game too, you know, it's going to be a really great weekend for, you know, prospect fanatics, whether that's pro prospects or amateur prospects. And just to go back to what you were saying, I think that the Draft League is going to end up being a success for several reasons. Primarily, I think the recency bias in allowing scouts to see these guys, extended looks, you know, over 2 months in the league, a month and a half in the league, we've had at this point, like where else at this point in the spring into summer can a scout get multiple looks at a player other than the draft league or other than another collegiate league. So I think guys who have been there for an extended period of time, as well as those who kind of arrived in this second wave in early June, are really going to benefit. They're getting looks that they wouldn't have otherwise. I've talked to scouts who've said, like, you know, some guys they've sat in on and seen multiple times. They may not have been high on before, but they've grown on them. I think that's going to be a huge factor. And you know, this is an opportunity to showcase a lot of players who might not have a lot of leverage per se in the draft. So I think there's going to be a lot of value found in these players. Value in the sense that teams are going to be able to draft a draft league player and save money for, you know, other more highly regarded picks without sacrificing talent too. And I think that's going to be one of the biggest takeaways from the draft league. It's open opportunities for JUCO, Division II, Division III, NAI players, all types of players who wouldn't have gotten this opportunity otherwise. You know, and I think by, you know, next Tuesday night, by Wednesday, we're going to have an idea of just how successful this league was and, you know, the scope of the opportunities it's created.
Absolutely. And if you're familiar with Baseball America's top 500 list, for any of our listeners out there, the Keys have had a couple of players on there. And you mentioned the range. You mentioned you have guys like Alex Ulloa and Rene Lastras, who are high school guys just finishing up and getting committed to college, or picking if they want to head into minor league baseball and begin that trek to major leagues. Or you have guys like Will Stevens, who just finished up a junior college and are looking to go to Wichita State or taking that path towards the draft next year. There's going to be a lot of interesting decisions that players need to talk over with their families this weekend. And it's a big mental time, especially for some of these younger kids. If you look at Ronan Kopp, an 18-year-old who throws the ball 97 miles an hour, it's a big decision right now to make if you want to continue with your college career or head on to Major League Baseball at this point.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's really well said. And you know, because so many of these kids are not coming from four-year programs, I think, you know, exactly like you said, there's going to be a lot of conversations. I'm sure these have been ongoing conversations throughout the draft league, talking with parents, talking with their advisors, talking with teams, and just trying to feel out the situation and understand what's best for them. But as a whole, I would say this is, you know, the constituency of the league is a lot of guys who are looking to play pro ball. You know, that's kind of the idea behind the league. So I think there's going to be some examples where players get drafted, but may hold out for whatever reason, may choose not to sign for whatever reason, whether it's they want to go back to another year of school, whether it's they're headed to a big four-year program. But for the most part, these are players who are ready to begin their pro careers.
Absolutely. Well, let's talk about some of these players from the Frederick Keys who are ready to get started and you think will be on the draft board this weekend. There's been a couple of big standouts. One of the biggest names for the Keys this year, Zach DiCenzo. He led the league in home runs. He was only here for about 2 weeks, but the Ohio State product was looking really good for the Keys. Who are some other guys that you think will be at the top of the draft board or somewhere in the 20-round MLB draft this year?
Can we just take a second to appreciate how ridiculous Zach DiCenzo coming into the draft league and hitting 6 homers in 14 games is? 6 homers and 4 doubles as well. And when we say like 6 homers, it's not like, you know, he snuck a couple over the fence. Like these are
monster
400 plus. Yeah. These are long home runs to the deepest part of the park. And if they're not tape measure shots, then they are scorching 170 to 110 mile per hour line drives that are just tracers right out of the ballpark. But, you know, I think Zach is a great example of a 4-year player coming to the draft league and boosting their stock. You know, once again, he was able to capitalize on a situation that wouldn't have been available for him in previous years and made the most of it. You know, he's already left. He came here, he did his damage. He terrorized pitchers for, you know, 2+ weeks. And now he's looking at a, you know, likely a day 2 selection in the draft. And I think that there are a couple other guys who fit that bill. You mentioned Ronan Kopp before. What pro team and scout doesn't love a 18-year-old lefty who pumps up to 97, 98 and sits 93 to 95 right now, you know? Does he have control problems? Sure. But you get a guy like that in a pro system under a pro development, refining his mechanics, tweaking a couple things. And, you know, even a slight jump in Kopp's control grade really enhances his profile as a pitcher. Will Stevens as well. I was just writing about them the other day, but I think for a lot of the season, Will Stevens' outings stuff and just overall performances have paralleled Copps in a way, in that the stuff is really hot. The stuff, without question, would play in the pro ranks. It's just the control is suspect. The mechanics are suspect, but you know, you can't teach a guy to throw 98. You can teach a guy who throws 98 to throw more strikes in theory. But you know, there's a lot of value in that just raw arm strength. And especially at their age, I think Stevens is 19, I want to say, you know, those are good young prospects who scouts, I know, have had their eye on in this league. A couple other key players, keys players. Mason Auer, you know, like DeZenzo, he came out here for a couple of weeks and flashed some like very loud tools, legitimate tools on both sides of the ball. Right-handed hitter with an upright stance, some good power, some swing and miss, you know. It's more power over hit probably right now, but there's also an approach. You know, he takes some walks. He's got, you know, a 65-70 arm from right field or wherever you put him in the outfield. And then he gets on the bump. And what, he saved two games for you guys?
Yep, two games.
Yep, he gets on the bump. He's 94 to 95 with a 2600, 2700 spin breaking ball. You know, I think that's a really interesting draft debate is, you know, do you like this guy as a hitter more? Do you like this guy as a pitcher more? Do you like him more in either of those roles to give him enough money to, you know, stay away from his Oregon commitment? I think those are all things that are being considered here, but, you know, the Keys have had some great players. Jake Plastiak, you know, he hit a grand slam last night. He's been parking the ball kind of like DeZenzo since day one, since he showed up in the league here. There are some really interesting college players who I know are garnering interest, you know, day two and day three.
Yeah, and you mentioned all the big names there, but really the Keys this season have been focused a lot on pitching as well. And they have a couple of former draft picks who have been selected that have come out of the bullpen. You look at a guy like Anthony DeFrancesco. His dad is a coach in the Mets organization. He was selected in 2016 by the Astros, and then he comes and goes to college and develops himself a little bit more. Now he has a shot to be drafted again, and he's been great out of the bullpen for the Keys this season.
And I think he'd be a really fun development project for a pro team too. So with him, it's like you're not going to get a lot of velo right now. It's mostly like low 90s. But what really stands out with him is the spin rates on everything he throws is elite. Fastball, curveball, slider. Like, I can't tell you how many times I've put together the Daily Leader tweet and it's Anthony DeFrancesco top two slots in breaking ball spin rates for his curveball and slider. And, you know, and he's spinning the fastball like 2900, like that's stupid. But you know, as I preface that by saying like the velocity is not as high as you would think given those spin rates, that's also to me a predictor of somebody who has the potential to throw harder, you know, based upon how fast that arm is, based upon how well he spins the baseball. Like, I think there's more to unlock there. And he's been super interesting, and it's been great to see him kind of ascend to that eighth, like that lockdown eighth, ninth inning role for you guys, which has been a really good fit. And man, he messes some guys up with that slider for sure.
I was talking to a couple of guys in the Black Bears. They were like, oh, DeFrancesco's pitching. Like, here comes the slider just over and over again. And I mean, he's right. DeFrancesco just goes to the slider and batters just can't lay off of it. It looks so good coming into the zone and then just drops right off the table. It's an elite tool for him.
Yeah. And I'm glad you said that, because I think with this league, scouts are trying to identify those elite tools, even if the guy's not a complete player, even if he doesn't do everything even remotely well. Like, if you've got an elite pitch, an elite tool, you know, that's worth a flyer in the draft or as a non-drafted free agent signing.
And then looking at the bullpen again, we had a guy, Dylan DeBrake, here for a couple of weeks from Creighton, and he came, did his work and got out. And Dylan has the season. It was under everyone's radar, but one of the best pitchers the Keys have seen this year.
Totally agree with you. That's why we threw him, you know, he's new to the league, but we placed him right into, I can't remember exactly, but the 25-ish range in our latest pitcher rankings, you know, even just based on a couple outings. And, you know, he wasn't here long, but in each outing, you saw the velo tick up a little bit. You saw the spin rates, fastball and breaking ball, pick up a little bit. And it's, I mean, both the slider and the curveball, he's got some nasty stuff. He's a good arm. It's a tough over-the-top slot, too. It's a unique look for hitters. There's something there for sure.
Absolutely. Well, shifting away from the Keys now, and I've been lucky this season at being able to travel to all five other parks now at this point in the season. I've seen every team play here in Frederick or on the road, so I've seen a lot of baseball. Who are some of your guys that you've been watching across these first month and a half of the draft league that you think are going to stand out in the draft this weekend coming up?
Yeah, I think pitchers have been an advantage in this league since day one, especially in that first wave, that May 24th through the first week of June. It was almost like spring training in the sense that pitchers were ahead of the hitters and, you know, their stuff was playing better. Hitters weren't making particularly great contact. But, you know, you've seen the offense pick up as we've grown deeper into the league. More hitters have arrived. You know, guys have gotten their reps. Guys have gotten their timing down. That being said, you know, I think Andrew Moore on State College is a guy who's really improved his stock. You know, he was being looked at as a draft pick coming into this summer, into the draft league season, but he's gone out there and proved to be, you know, he's got some of the best stuff in the league. It's a fastball that's sitting 95, 96, up to 98. Really good changeup. Pretty good breaking ball, starter qualities that would translate well at the pro level. And I think the same could be said about Williamsport's Chase Costello from Stetson, a guy who didn't get the typical number of reps from a college season that you would expect. He transferred, he had to sit out a year. So he's been a guy who's come on strong as a durable four-pitch starter. He's been up to 95, good slider, good changeup, you know, younger for a four-year school pitcher as well. And I think there's a lot of value to be had in that. Going down the list of other starting pitching prospects in this league who really have a chance to be selected, you know, relatively high in the draft, Mitch Bratt, left-hander from West Virginia. He is an Ontario prep who is committed to Florida State. You know, he ranks among the draft league leaders in just about every pitching category. He's turning 18 this week. So he's very young. He's pitched most of the season at 17, messing up veteran college hitters. It's a really, really good 3-4 pitch mix. Fastball's been ticking up. It's been up to 94 in his last outing. And that was, he hit 94 in the fourth inning of his last outing. And, you know, previously he'd been a lot of 90 to 92. So it's really good to see his velocity picking up. Commands the changeup, commands the breaking ball. It's just a complete high school pitcher who also has some stuff. And I think that, you know, I think that there's a, based upon that, based upon his age, based upon the remaining projection and present ability, it would not surprise me if he was the first draft league player taken, you know, whether it's Sunday or Monday.
Well, you mentioned the early picks here for the draft league. So I'm sure you were tuned into the College World Series. We saw some of the top prospects in the country playing there between Vanderbilt and Mississippi State. Do you have an idea of who you think is going to go first in the draft? Because the Pirates this season have the first pick overall. So do you have an idea of where we might see some of these guys fall?
I think it's eye of the beholder there. I think it's got to be Rocker or Leiter just based upon, I know that's safe. And I know there's some, you know, arguably more intriguing position players a little bit down the board, namely some high school shortstops. But you look at the track record, you look at the stuff, you look at who these guys are as well. And it's hard. It would be hard to pass on either of those two. That's not to say it won't happen. I mean, who knows? It's the draft. Finances and you know, availability have play a huge role in this and could very much determine whether it's, you know, Kumar Rocker going number one at all and getting full bonus, or somebody ranked more in like the 8 to 10 range going number one overall at a discount and saving the Pirates money for, you know, upside picks later in the round. But I would say it's going to be one of those two.
And you mentioned kind of just the draft being a little bit longer this year as well. Last year was only five rounds in the COVID age of baseball. Now, the agreement from last year still has this year's draft at 20 rounds, but it'll allow some more players to get drafted. And you mentioned the strategy going into it. Do you think that those extra 15 rounds are going to allow teams to build out their farm systems a little bit more here? And we might see some of these struggling teams, Major League Baseball, like the Orioles, like the Pirates, kind of start to develop their young arms again and build up the farm?
Yeah, absolutely. I you know, last year was unfortunate for every possible reason, you know, real life and baseball. And I think that it, you know, it was an obvious disadvantage for the bulk of minor league players, as well as teams, not being able to stock their farm systems, having to reduce the number of players in-house due to, you know, minor league teams being contracted and cut loose, as you are all too aware, JJ, I'm sure. But I think teams look at this as a breath of fresh air, a chance to infuse their system with some talent, some backlog talent too. You know, there's a wide range of draft eligible players this year because of, you know, the situation in 2020, the same reason that you see a lot of fifth year college players, you know, fifth year college seasons, sixth year COVID, you know, college seniors, that type of situation. So, you know, I think it's going to be a challenge for teams to narrow down the field to 20 rounds in a way. You know, there's such a large player pool out there this year. But I know that teams have been really excited to get back into scouting, you know, in 2021 here and resume normal life, normal duties, player evaluation. And I think the draft league is going to come in big there too. As I was talking about before, there's a lot of value, like monetary value to be found in some of these players, I think. So, you know, don't be surprised if you see teams starting pop draft league players, not as like a true just cost saver, but, you know, they're getting good players as well, but primarily as a means to save money for more highly regarded talent.
Absolutely. Well, Mike, thanks for hopping on. We appreciate you stopping by. I know we joked about you hopping on to do the draft episode and we got it done here. So good stuff.
I'm just happy to be joined by the voice of the hottest team in the draft league right now.
Four in a row. We go for five tonight. So who knows?
On your birthday too. On your birthday.
Thank you. I appreciate it. So, well, thank you for hopping on. We're looking forward to having you in Frederick. Maybe sometime in the second half, we'll see you stop by, but thanks for joining us today. We appreciate it.
And I'll be ready to record the post-draft special whenever you're ready, JJ. So,
all right. Sounds good. We'll talk to you soon, Mike. Thanks. Well, thank you to Mike for joining us today here on Unlocking the Keys. It was awesome to talk about some of the guys that are going to go in this year's draft. As we mentioned, Zach DiCenzo here for about 2 weeks, six home runs for him. That leads the MLB Draft League still today at this time as the Keys get ready to win four in a row here in the game this evening against the West Virginia Black Bears. If you'd like to follow the Keys on social media to keep up to date with everything going on with the season, with tickets, or with the upcoming MLB draft, you can follow us by following the social channels here on the screen. Now, follow us on Twitter at Frederick Keys, also on Instagram and Facebook at Frederick Keys. If you'd like to follow us on TikTok, Will Stevens also on TikTok. He's up to 10,000 followers. You can follow us at Frederick Keys Baseball, and you can also follow Will Stevens if you just search his name there. He's been doing some awesome things on TikTok since the season has come to an end for him, and he's just able to grow his own brand and everything. So be sure to follow everyone on social media. If you'd like to follow myself, you can find me on Twitter at JJ Michalski, JJ Michalski. For now, that's all we have to you today here on Unlocking the Keys. Looking forward to talking to you until all tonight on the broadcast as the Keys go for win number five on the Keys Radio Network. Pre-game starts at 6:50 p.m. Game time at 7 p.m. tonight, right here from Nimmo Field at Harrah Grove Stadium. For now, have a great day, everyone. We'll talk to you tonight.